Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this day as people who are called into your presence. We shout with joy, knowing that you are indeed God. It is you that has made us, and we are yours through the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one who laid down his life for his sheep, so that we might come into your pasture. For God, help us to know that we were bought with a price that means that he went to the cross on our behalf. He lived a life that brought you glory, obedient to you, and died a death in our stead, so that his righteousness might be given to us. Forgive us, Father, we pray, for all our sins, for we know that we are sinful by our nature, as well as our actions and our inaction. Forgive us, we pray, for that which we have done and we regret, for things that we have failed to do and we regret, for the times that we have acted without love, for the times that we have reacted without thought, and for all the times that we withdraw care, for the times that we have failed to forgive, the times in which we have called that which is sinful good, and for the times that we have called that which is good sinful. Father, forgive us. And Lord, as we come in repentance and faith, give us assurance that we are indeed forgiven through the blood that was shed for us, that we enter the Lamb's Book of Life. So Lord, as we come to the truth of your word, give us eyes that we might see more of its wonder. Give us ears that we might hear more of its delight, that we might respond in faith, living for you, knowing that your word teaches what we are to believe concerning you and what you require of us. Father, work amongst us now by your word and by your spirit, that we might be conformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ, that we might cast off the lies of this world, that we might hold on to the truth that you have given us, that we might be continually repenting of our sin, and that we may live in a way that reveals your light in this world of darkness. Father, may nothing I say or do add or detract from your word. And may I always fearfully know that every word I say I will be accountable to you for. And so, Lord, that we might know your truth above what this world offers. Heavenly Father, be at work, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to read together from God's word from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 13. As always, I'd encourage you to turn to it as we read it together. Ezekiel chapter 13, truth matters. In verse 1 to 7, we have the pretend prophets who preaching false hope. In verse 8 to 16, who face God's wrath. And then in verse 17 to 23, we have pretend prophetesses preaching false hope, face God's wrath. You'll notice as we go through this, there is a focus on the men, the prophets who were preaching false hope and what they would face. And then the second part of the chapter focuses on the female prophetesses who preached false hope. So let's read God's word as we find it in the book of Ezekiel together. This is the word of God. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imaginations, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among rooms. You have not gone up to the bricks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel, so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false, and their divinations are a lie. They say, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. Because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace. And because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstorms hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. In my wrath, I will unleash a violent wind, and in my anger, hailstorms and torrents of rain will fall with destructive fury. I will tear down the wall you have covered with whitewash and level it to the ground so that its foundations will be laid bare. When it falls, you will be destroyed in it. You will know that I am the Lord. So I will spend my wrath against the wall and against those who covered it with whitewash. I will say to you, the wall is gone, and so those who whitewashed it, those who prophesy of Israel, who prophesied to Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for her when there was no peace, declares the Sovereign Lord. My son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own imagination. Prophesy against them and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the women who sew magic charms on their wrists and make veils of various lengths for their heads in order to ensnare people. Will you ensnare the lives of my people, but preserve your own? You have profaned me among my people for a few handfuls of barley and scraps of bread. By lying to my people who listen to lies, you have killed those who should not have died, and spared those who should not live. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against your magic charms with which you ensnare people like birds, and I will tear them from your arms. I will set free the people that you ensnare like birds. I will tear off your veils and save my people from your hands, and they will no longer fall prey to your power. Then you will know that I am the Lord, because you disheartened the righteous with your lies, when I brought them no grief. And because you encourage the wicked not to turn from their evil ways and to save their lives, therefore you will no longer see false visions or practice divination. I will save my people from your hands, and you will know that I am the Lord. Amen. We thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. I'm assuming all of you know that today is the 24th of July. But that means we only have 5 days left. Now, you might be wondering, what on earth am I talking about? Or you might be sitting there going, yes, Alan, finally, you're going to tell us all. We already knew this. Well, you know, part of the joys of being me is that people get in touch with all kind of weird and wonderful stuff. And most of the time, they are well-meaning and they are sincere. And they want me to tell you and to warn you of what lies ahead. Right, are you ready for what's going to happen on the 29th of July so that you can all be prepared for it? Okay, I'm going to get kicked off Facebook this morning more than likely for this. Okay, on the 29th of July, this was a very sincere individual back in May, got in touch with me and said, I need to warn you because the global food supply chain is going to collapse on the 29th of July, and there will be no food in the shops this time next week. Okay, you've been warned. Right, what about this one? Like, no kidding, I get lots of this stuff all the time. I was talking with someone this week, but that's for a different matter. You know, most ministers get this stuff. Some of it's easy enough to dismiss. Some of it you can just say outright, look, That's not true. Some of it, it's better just to sit there and nod your head with. But a few things. 5G is not the cause of COVID-19. Okay, so 5G in your phone, it's not the cause of COVID-19. All right? Drinking bleach, here's another one. Drinking bleach will not cure you of COVID if you've got it. And I know one or two people online have got COVID. Don't be drinking bleach. That can kill you. Bleach is really bad, boys and girls. You don't play with it. All right, here's another one. The war in Ukraine is actually going on, believe it or not. And it's not just Western propaganda, which I have heard and been told. It's not just to fleece us so that we have to pay more tax. And another thing. Monkeypox is not the new COVID-19. And please trust me, if you don't listen to anything else this morning, please trust me, most of you, if not all of you, have absolutely no chance, and I mean absolutely no chance, of getting monkeypox. Okay, now I've got that out of my system. One of the greatest dangers that we face today is a perversion of the truth. The greatest danger that we face is whenever truth is twisted, whenever it is perverted, and people no longer can tell the difference between what is the truth and what is a lie. And it happens in all regards, of course. 5G and monkeypox are but examples of those. But the greatest danger that we face is whenever the truth of God is perverted and twisted, because it corrupts and destroys the church. This is, above all else, the greatest danger that we have today. It's not persecution. It's not falling numbers. It's not that we're out of touch with society. It is whenever the truth of God is perverted. And this passage acts as a warning to us, because it leads people being oblivious to the need of repentance and the free offer of salvation. This is part of the indictment against the prophets and the prophetesses. That's what they call themselves as such in Ezekiel's day. Because they encouraged the wicked. It ensnared people. And instead of turning from their evil ways, people didn't see anything wrong with it. It's really important to come that we know what is truth. Truth matters. Here the word of God comes to Ezekiel. And it warns those who claim to have a word from the Lord of the consequences for spouting nonsense. And in the first 7 verses, it addresses the pretend prophets. Pretend prophets who were preaching false hope. So look how it begins. As the word of the Lord, once more, verse 1 of chapter 13, comes to Ezekiel. And it's a prophecy against the prophets. And it sounds a little bit ironic. You know, it's like me going to presbytery. And if you don't know what presbytery is, we send an elder and myself, and we go and have a meeting with all the churches in the area, and we make decisions, and we sort problems out and do all those kind of things. Okay, it's like me going to in front of all the other ministers in the presbytery and the elders who are representing those churches, and standing up as moderator and all those who are gathered in, and you know, and as I start, everything looks normal, and then I just start spouting off at them, standing up and saying, "The Lord told me to tell you you're actually talking nonsense and you need to sort yourself out." And don't think I would envy that task at all. But that is effectively what Ezekiel is being challenged to do. He's to stand up in front of these prophets and to tell them that there's going to be eternal consequences for what they were doing and what they were doing and had done. They were spoofing, they were talking nonsense. I love the word that's used here. And it's near enough a literal translation near the end of verse 2. Who are prophesying out of their own imaginations. See, it wasn't the Lord speaking to these prophets. It was all made up. It was their imaginations. The Lord hadn't given them visions. He had not come to them in a dream. There was none of that. Ezekiel, on the other hand, the word of the Lord came to him. But these prophets, well, they were talking nonsense. Just like the prophets who prophesied that Donald Trump would be president. They might have sounded confident, they might have told people what they wanted to hear, they might have used his phrases like, the Lord gave me a word, and this word is that Donald Trump is going to be president, but Donald Trump is not president. They were prophesying likewise out of their own imagination. These people in Ezekiel say, claim to have the truth of the Lord. But the Lord says, there in verse 3, woe to the foolish. Woe to them. They followed their own imaginations. It wasn't just that these prophets were following their imaginations. They were properly deluded. They were fools. Now, sometimes I draw meanings of the Hebrew words out because they're insightful, but the word that's translated literally, that's translated as fool here, literally means someone who is intellectually and morally foolish, as well as being someone who is completely godless. That's those people that the Lord speaks to. Intellectually and morally, and they were godless people, whereas in Ezekiel is a true prophet. We're reminded in 2 Peter that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretations. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel was a true prophet. God spoke, carried him along, but look at what they're told here, that these prophets were like jackals. Now, we don't have jackals here today, but think medium-sized dogs, more like a wolf, pack animals, they always went round together, scavengers. So if a city was destroyed or in ruins, the jackals would go in and search in the ruins for whatever they could find, and any flesh that they could find, they would eat. They were ritually unclean animals. They were preying on the weak. That's the sense here. Think about it. They were unclean. And as we think about this pack animals of jackals coming that they're described as, I want you to imagine for a second in your head that you're encircled by a big stone wall. You know, we all know what dry stone walls look like around here, right? Big dry stone wall surrounded by it, okay? And there's a hole in the wall. You're in the middle of a battle. What do you try to do with a hole if there's somebody coming and trying to get into the circle, the stone circle? What do you try to do? You try to barricade the wall. You try to stop them from getting in. But here we're told that these jackals were doing the opposite. They would say, no, it's okay. It doesn't matter if there's a big hole. They were doing the opposite of what they should have been doing. They're not repairing the house of Israel. They're not telling them of their sin and their need of repentance. They're false prophets. They're doing the opposite. They're not helping the house of Israel stand firm. And by their lives, they're doing more damage. They're spouting nonsense. It's all human imagination. And it's undermining what God is trying to teach his people. They're delusional. Delusional is a good word for them. The Lord declares, but the Lord had not spoken. They were pretend prophets. At this stage, just something I want to draw out for us here. You know, because we here today are in such a privileged position. False teachers, yes, they continue on. But we're in a privileged position because we have the complete revelation of the Word of God. The Scriptures, from beginning to end. The Word of God itself testifies how long ago and in many times and in many ways God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, whom he also created the world. That's in Hebrews verse 1 and 2. The writer confronts us with how God throughout human history has been active in many times and in many ways he has spoken. He didn't reveal all about himself in one go. He didn't hand Adam and Eve the instruction manual for the rest of their life. He didn't give them their autobiography. Instead, God gave them a progressive revelation. And until Christ came, the fulfillment of God's revelation, God has spoken his best and final word. We don't need anything else. We don't need new words from God. God has given us everything. in His Word from beginning to end. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to have a new revelation. Nothing more is needed. No new prophetic words about Trump. Nothing like that. Nothing more is needed. We have what we need. See, those the pretend prophets who preached false hope, well, they would also face God's wrath. Ezekiel used to say, woe to them. They were lost in their own imaginations. They were fools. They were morally and spiritually corrupt. And now the Lord speaks to them through the prophet. Because of their false words and lying visions, the Lord is against them. We're told that the hand of the Lord is going to be against these people because of this. You know, we're all used to David and Goliath-sized battles. This is like comparing Goliath with a little Lego man. In fact, it's not, it's still not a big enough comparison. God's creatures were going to face the consequences. His hand was against them. See, this should have evoked in God's people what had happened in the book of Exodus. We all know what happened in the book of Exodus with the plagues that came upon Pharaoh. And the reason why is because the Lord's hand was against Pharaoh. The Lord's hand was against Egypt. See, the Lord's hand being against this people is a game changer. It's over for these prophets. The Lord was bringing His judgment upon them. And the scary thing is what they are warned and what they are told here in these verses. If you've got your Bible, look at what it says. You know, because they are going to be removed, verse 9, from the council of God's people. They're not going to be listed in the records of the house of Israel. They're not going to enter the land of Israel. The Lord God is passing judgment upon them. These false prophets are not listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. These false prophets have been wiped off and wiped out of the memory of God's people that are not even mentioned by name. And it's what will face all who prophesy in the name of the Lord who are not His. There are people today who claim to be prophets, hear the word of the God. I think you should be incredibly skeptical if they say, I've had a vision, I've had a word from the Lord. You need to be incredibly careful for that. If anybody comes to you and says, the Lord has given me a word to tell you. I watched a prophetic word recently that was sent to me, and it was on YouTube. If any of you would want the link, I can pass that on to you. I would say, don't bother watching it, it's a waste of time. But if you really want, just to check where the sources come from. What caught my attention most about this prophetic word for the United Kingdom was that it was a new word for today. See, prophets in Ezekiel say spoke on God's behalf new words. As I stand before you as a preacher, my task is not to give you new words from the Lord God, but to tell you what God has already said and ground it in your life. It may be prophetic in the sense that it points you to God and the way to God, but there will be no new words in what I say. I'm not to add or take away from it. I'm not to give you another vision from the Lord. This is why in James we're warned that not many of you should be teachers, my brothers, because we will be judged with greater strictness. Hebrews reminds us is that the place that God speaks from is His Word. How God speaks today is from His Word read and preached. He doesn't give a fresh revelation. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way. God does not give a fresh revelation, but He rivets the old ones when it has become forgotten and laid in dusty chambers of our memory. He fetches it out, cleans the picture, but God does not paint a new picture. But these prophets, we're told, were good with the whitewash. Now, any of you ever whitewash? Sure, a few of us have. I remember doing it in the summer house as a wee. You know, he would first of all give a wee brush down in the walls, and you know, maybe get the wire brush out and a bit that's flaking off, and you know, you get the whitewash ready, and you have an old stone building, and the next thing, it was all grubby looking and whatever else, and it looks fantastic with a whitewash on it, doesn't it? Everything looks all right. That damp patch is covered up, and those cracks, well, you wouldn't notice them anymore. You'd put a wee stuff in and then whitewashed over the top of it, and you'd almost move into it, and then you give it a few weeks, and then the autumn comes, and that big damp patch has started to grow green with the whitewash on top of it and the back. You know, it doesn't last for long. That's what these prophets and prophetesses were doing. They were whitewashing. The problem was that their sin was real. They tried to cover the cracks, but whenever the weather came, it exposed it, but ultimately it was God's judgment that was coming. The prophets had led the people astray. They'd whitewashed it all. All of it might have looked okay on the outside. They might have declared peace, but ultimately it was all a nonsense. The prophets had given people false hope. Their only hope was in God. Their only hope was as they repented, as they turned from their sin, and as they trusted in the Lord God. And likewise, the only hope that we have in this world is repenting of our sins and trusting in the Lord God through Jesus Christ. This wall was going to collapse. It looked great, but it was a nonsense. In fact, these people had built their house in the sand, and the Lord God was going to hold them accountable. They're going to experience the wrath of God. They had declared peace when there was going to be no peace. And you can half understand it. You know, who wants to be the bearer of bad news? You know, I know a few doctors. I try to avoid them like the plague, except for in a social situation. You know, if you want to go to the doctor surgery at all, unless you really have to. But every doctor I know, none of them take pleasure in being the bearer of bad news. They don't take joy in telling someone that you're going to have this issue for the rest of your life, that you're going to be on medication, or your life's dramatically reduced because of what you face. But one recently who said they had to tell a patient that they're going to have intermittent injections for the rest of their life. And the person genuinely couldn't understand it. They're only in their 30s. Couldn't understand it. Why do I have to have insulin injections? I don't eat sweets. I don't eat cakes. But drinking 6 liters of Lucozade a day, well, sure, that doesn't matter. That's liquid. The problem was that these prophets sugarcoated it. They didn't tell the bad news. A doctor is responsible for telling the truth of your condition so that you can be helped with it. The preacher or the prophet back in Ezekiel's day was tasked with telling the truth of your condition. The condition of the people of God in their hearts was that they were sinful, and our condition is that they are sinful. Our hearts are deceitful. They painted over the cracks. And sadly, there are many today with the title of prophet, even minister, and the thing that they don't do is address the issue of sin, which we need to repent of. We need to turn to Jesus Christ. There are plenty of preachers who are happy or seem happy to send people to hell happy. But ultimately, we need to repent of our sin and turn to Jesus Christ. The task is not to give the just the bad news, to tell of the good news and the hope that we have in Jesus. For Jesus addressed the issue that we have of sin. We thank marching on in this last section here to the 10 prophetesses. He preached false hope and they faced God's wrath too. Effectively, it's fairly mirrored. There's a few distinctions. Now, why I call them prophetesses here, the word's not actually used. They're only, in fact, they're anything but they're enslaving people. In fact, there are only 4 prophetesses mentioned in the whole of the Old Testament. Miriam, Deborah, Huldah, Noadiah. But these, in Ezekiel's day, false prophets. They're more like witches than they are those who are preaching the truth of the Word of God. They're profaning the Word of God. And what are they doing? They're taking it for handfuls of barley and bits of bread. Price of their services. They were in it for what they could get out of it. And as a result, we're told that the righteous, well, they're disheartened, the wicked are encouraged, sin flourishes. Just like the male prophets, they were causing sin to flourish. They were whitewashed. Today, one of the biggest challenges the church faced, and I've said it already, is that a perversion of the truth. We live in an age where churches cross this land, and it's in the West, it's not so much in the East, are redefining biblical teaching on morality. People are having to do all kind of weird and wonderful stuff. You know, we come to the book of Romans in September, and I've been doing some reading, and people are outright rejecting everything Paul says because Paul teaches on biblical sexual ethics, and it's not what this world wants to hear. We are living in a time whenever even those who profess faith and are in the church are calling sin good. Sin is any want of conformity or transgression of the law of God. Anything that we do that is not with God's will in mind. Whitewashers today, as whitewashers back in Ezekiel's day. Instead, God had sent his prophets for building up God's people, bringing those who strengthen the righteous, to correct what is wrong and to proclaim the truth. See, they were lying. They had disheartened. They caused pain and suffering among God's people. They were doing the opposite of Ezekiel. God was going to bring his judgment upon them because of sin. See, part of the reason why the people would not believe Jeremiah or Ezekiel was because people like this, false prophets. Jesus warned us that false prophets were to watch out for them. They'll come like wolves in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. How do we protect ourselves as a people here in this place? Well, I'm going to tell you a few things here as we begin to draw to a close. We're to act like the people, the Bereans. Now, if you don't know who the Bereans are, they're in Acts chapter 17. We're told that whenever Paul was there amongst them, and every time that he opened his mouth, they searched the scriptures to make sure what Paul said was in line with the teaching of it. There's a reason why I encourage you to open your Bibles before you. If nothing else, it helps you to know that we're going through the passage, and it helps keep me right. You're to examine everything I say and every teacher says. Just because someone has got a famous name does not mean that you should trust them. I spoke to somebody recently, and I thought they were so right because they said, I only read the theology of dead guys. And this was a lay person, because their theology has been picked apart already, and they can't crash and burn. We also need to be aware about what we sing. You remember that song from our youth? You know, whenever it comes on the radio, when you're sitting in wherever, and it's in the van or in the house, in the kitchen, and the radio's on, and I'm talking about secular music here generally. You know, for me, you know, Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol. Every time it takes me back to the very place that I first heard that song. And I can't sing the lyrics now because I can't remember them, but as soon as the song comes on, I can sing along. How many of us can do that with different items? See, words are so important. So often we can sing words without thought. And that's why the words of what we sing here in the Lord's Day are so important. We need to examine the words of everything we sing. I had somebody to take me to task recently, and I delighted in this, was that they took me to task about the words of a hymn and said, are they right? See, the truth of what we sing matters because it sticks with us. There's another thing that keeps us from error, and that's creeds and confessions. Now, the Bible is the Word of God, and we must always remember that. The creeds and confessions and catechisms are summaries of what it teaches. We should always examine them and allow the Scripture to speak. They are convenient summaries. We have great ecumenical creeds like the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. that bind us together with brothers and sisters in different places. We also have the shorter catechism, the larger catechism. You know, if we all knew the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and the Westminster Shorter Catechism, we would have such a defense against false teachers. But we should never be content just to rely on these things. Our faith must be grounded upon the Word of God. And it is only then will we be secure. We must never let tradition adopted by the church or how we feel or the culture that surrounds us add or take away or modify or nullify the Word of God. As we come to close, I want to take you to the one who didn't whitewash over people's sins. In fact, he dealt with our sin by his blood. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who didn't paint over it, didn't hide from it. Instead, he came to face the consequences for our sin, so that our filthy rags could be washed in his blood. See, he must be the foundation of what we believe, how we live. He's the rock on what we must build our lives. He calls us to repent and believe in him and to trust in him with all of our lives. He doesn't tell us what we want to hear. He tells us what we need to hear. And we must take up our cross and follow him. There's a cost, biblically, morally, ethically. And as we do that, we know that nothing can separate us from his love. He is our security in a world that is decaying, a world that hates it, that calls sin good. Jesus Christ is our only hope this day. Trust in the way and the truth and the life, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together as we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, today we see the truth being exchanged for a lie. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He alone is the way to salvation through faith. You are indeed a gracious God who has revealed your truth to us. Lord, let it be the foundation of our lives. And then how that first resurrection day of how the glory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ was declared. Help us to remember it every single resurrection day, every Lord's Day, of how we are a new creation. Lord, as we think of that, we think of how the whole creation is in bondage to decay, groans with the pains of childbirth up to the present age, and we pray that you would be at work as wars rage over this world, as bystanders suffer most. Help us to know that until Christ returns, Lord, even though it increases in number, that, Lord, you are at work. For those here across this world who are accused of persecuted for what they believe, give them strength to face each day. For those who suffer from illness and loss, for those who suffer with walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and those who sit with them, for those who are dealing with the pain of memory, and those who are hurt by the church or its members, we pray, Lord, that you may help them to know the hope that there is in Jesus. And Lord, for this week of my daughter Sarah, we pray that the teenagers indeed would know the truth that is not of this world, the truth that is from you, that they might know the truth of salvation and hold on to it in their lives. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing our closing hymn, In Christ Alone. may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all the same forevermore.
Amen.